Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Janny.
And I'm Press.
Hey, Praz. Game week 23 was the week where we finally saw Haaland and KDB start together as they both continued their returns from injury. And it was also the week that Watkins rewarded the 900,000 who captained him, but punished the 157,000 who decided to sell him. Estupinan upset the 28.5% of managers who owned him. And as for Richarlison, that's now 9 goals in 8 weeks for the Brazilian. How did 23 get on for you, mate?
What a week. 45 goals in a weekend of football. I think it's the most since the Premier League started for 20 teams, and absolutely amazing. But unfortunately, didn't get all of those goals in my team. I had some goods. So I had Richarlison, happy with that. I had Trippier, who, got a goal and assist, and got Haaland in my team, got Watkins, but didn't captain him. But I benched Foden, and I think you'll talk about that as well. But overall, 76 points, I think I'm still okay with that. And, if things would have been better, I'd be in the 90s, but I think still under 80K in terms of rank, so not too bad.
Yeah, and sometimes we look at the game week, but we also have to take a step back and go, where am I overall, and am I fairly happy with that? And it's a great example with your rank, clearly are. It was a terrible week for me, mate. But again, I'm doing that thing where I just go, take a step back, bigger picture, it's still okay. Like, last week, I was at 45,000 overall rank. This week, I'm at 145,000. So it's the biggest red arrow I can remember for me. I sold Pascal Gross. I benched Foden. I didn't own Richarlison. I didn't own Haaland. But I'm really encouraged to come on and chat. And I think the weeks off the back of a red arrow actually give you more motivation, allow you to really strive for better and look forward and go sort of glass half full. And I look at my team and I'm really excited about the next couple of weeks. I'm delighted to be here chatting for the next 45 minutes or so with you about what was an amazing weekend of football and has given us so much food for thought moving forward, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think for people who have a bad week, one thing to remember is, you can have an equally good week and just be back. That just shows how tight the ranks are. And so, whether it's your mini league, whether it's your ranks, it's always about looking forward. So yeah, looking forward to this chat, Janny.
Yeah, the biggest game over the weekend for many, and for FPL, like loads of us had 4 or 5 players in this game, was, I guess, Arsenal-Liverpool. I went into the game thinking, well, I kind of backed Liverpool for a win, which is why I was happy with my combination of Darwin and Jota in my 11. But Arsenal looked so, so good. And it showed me this game week just how elite that Arsenal defence is. We knew it was the best defence in the league, or up there in the top two, certainly. But to see them keep Liverpool, high-scoring Liverpool, the best attack of late, to minimal XG, and just looked so, so comfortable. And I look going forward off the back of the blank game week that we've got coming up and think, oh, many will jump to go double Arsenal defence. And I think it was the Arsenal defence, despite conceding and many of their players blanking, Gabriel with minus points, I think it was the Arsenal defence that really shone for me.
It's one of those things where people look at the goals conceded and they keep conceding the odd goal, which we know. There's another team that does that, Man City. Yeah. But look, on paper, underlyings tell us that this is a good defence and clean sheets do come. So even though it is disappointing, I've been holding on to double Arsenal defence, not very happy to have done so with the outcome in mind, but happy in hindsight, in the sense that I do like their numbers and I think that's a good defense to back. But it was surprising from Liverpool, because I started Jota as well, just one shot on target. Perhaps it was the Darwin swelling and he couldn't start, or perhaps it was Trent who was not quite right. Obviously, they're missing Salah, Szoboszlai wasn't starting. So I just think it was, I would call it a blip from Liverpool, because otherwise they've been so threatening in attack and an explosive team. And obviously you have the double to talk about for them as well.
Yeah, there was a midfield battle going on. I think Arsenal completely bossed it with kind of Rice and Jorginho in there versus Liverpool's McAllister and Jones and Gravenberch. I think Szoboszlai was a massive, massive miss. But Liverpool still have that firepower. And on their day, we look ahead of their fixtures. We know now Liverpool have, a lovely fixture in 24, but also the double game week. So I guess we're still looking to stack up. And off the back of that Arsenal performance, should we worry at all about Darwin minutes? Or do you think, it was reported that he had swelling and he was always a doubt, and FPL flagged him on site. But I look at Liverpool now and think Jota and Darwin is still a very attractive combination for the next couple.
Absolutely. So I think this is the tricky part of the season where, yes, they have this double in 25, but then they have the blank in 26. But the double, and if you include 24 as well, they're playing Burnley at home and Luton at home. those are probably the two prime fixtures that you want. Now, Luton are a much better team. We'll talk about them when we talk about the Newcastle game. But those are just prime home games. You just want as many bites of the cherry as you can. And for me personally, I'm looking to get both Jota and Darwin. And if it requires a hit to take them out in game week 26, then so be it. There is just a lot of upside in those two games itself. And then you obviously add the Brentford away, three games in two, absolutely really, really good ones.
I'm going with just the two Liverpool, and I would like, in an ideal world, I'd have three. Like, I'd have the two we've mentioned plus Trent. But by having two, I mean, I'm priced out of Trent and made the decision a few weeks back to sell him, and I knew there was probably no going back from that pre-blank game week for Liverpool in 26. I'm sure I'll be owning Trent very soon after. Do we think that's the right number? Do you think two is fine? Do you think three is optimal? Knowing if you have three, you then got the benching dilemma the following week if you're not free hitting.
Correct. So I think it's difficult to give one straight answer. It's very team dependent. So if somebody has, let's say, no Spurs players, because Spurs also blank in game week 26, or you don't have a Palmer, then you can manage to bench them. You know, you can bench them in game week 26 and just carry them through. But then the other school of thought is if Liverpool blank in 26, they play Man City in 28, and they also probably blank in 29. And for those who want to know why, it's because if they make the FA Cup quarterfinals, then they will also blank in game week 29. So therefore, it is just a very difficult schedule for Liverpool. So I'm actually thinking whether I have two or three, all of them will leave my team in game week 26. If it requires a hit, then so be it. But I'm actually with you. I might just go with the two, but I want the two attackers more than the defenders. Because let's talk about Trent a little bit. You know, Trent came back after an injury in January when he originally was diagnosed with the injury. They said he will take 3 weeks. And this weekend was the 3 weeks. So there is one school of thought that says he's coming back from injury. He's probably now good to go. He's got some minutes under his belt, so he could just start. The other school of thought is to say Connor Bradley has done really well. He was actually set to start. He had an unfortunate personal issue and therefore he couldn't. But you could say that surely Liverpool don't start the first team in every single game, especially leading up to a cup final with Chelsea, the Carabao Cup final. What are your thoughts on Trent? I mean, if you could get to him.
Yeah, I think the upside is big enough when he's starting. And let's take the next three games. If we think he's starting two of the next three, or even if he gets an hour in two of three and 90 in the other, then it's still huge, huge like upside there, because we know Trent is the best player in the game. But I think you've got to have the team set up for it. I don't think you should be ripping up your team to accommodate a Trent. And many need to do that, because very few of us have that premium defensive spot already covered in our team. If you've got Trippier, maybe you can move left to right there. But if you don't and you need to find 2, 3, 4 million, then it's really, really tricky. And I think you can go without. It's interesting with Klopp, players that have been injured of late have been eased back slower than I can remember from Jurgen Klopp. And it's clearly it's a fixtures play. It's going, the congestion's so big, we can't have too many setbacks. The squad's already thin. Because there's so many injuries, let's not rush these guys back. And I remember Jota, if we go back, I don't know, 3, 4 weeks ago, we were like, oh, Jota's fit and available. He's coming off the bench and scoring. Why is he not starting the next game? And for a fair few weeks, he had 20, 30 minute cameos. Again, Trent just getting the hour at the weekend, didn't feel like he could push him further than that. So Klopp's got to be careful, because the fixtures are coming thick and fast. Pretty much every midweek, there's a fixture for Liverpool in one competition or another. And obviously, there's that double in 25. Just after that, Carabao Cup final a few days later. So again, you do worry about a bit of rotation. Like, just know, even with the likes of Jota and Darwin, don't expect in double game weeks these guys to be clocking 180 minutes. It's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And this is why, if I was to go for a third at the moment, there is a slight temptation. Maybe I just go for Trent. If Klopp says he's fit and fine, then I will go there anyway because of those two very plum fixtures. But there is a little temptation to go Van Dijk, actually, because you get the Burnley home, Luton home game. He probably starts all three, given how important he is. So any temptation there? Have you thought about Van Dijk?
Yeah, I always like Van Dijk for goal threat. I think there's very few centre-backs that come with his goal threat from attacking set pieces. But again, I just don't have the team set up for it. I don't have money in the bank to be able to upgrade a kind of low to mid-price defender to a high-price one. And Van Dijk is still pricey. You know, it still falls in the premium category, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I mean, I hear you. And I think a lot of people will have this dilemma in their head. I still recommend that if you can get to three Liverpool, even if it needs an extra hit, it might Burnley at home, Luton at home. I keep saying that. What about Salah? Let's talk about him. I mean, he's a forgotten man. He's been out for AFCON, got injured there. He is, you know, we've seen some pictures of him, individual, not even training, just running with trainers on the pitch or on the training ground. What do you think about him? What if Klopp says he's nearly there for Burnley? What would you do?
Knowing how Klopp's been easing these players in recently, and we spoke about Jota and Trent limited minutes, even if he's available, like I think for a couple of weeks we could get cameos. I just think Salah is so precious for the Liverpool run-in, and Klopp's going to be so conscious of that. Also, if we take the Arsenal game out of the equation, and look, Arsenal was a bit of an anomaly for Liverpool. Like, they didn't turn up on the day. They faced elite competition, and they didn't click up front. And they also had Darwin benched, and Darwin's been central to the Liverpool attacking play. But before that game, the Liverpool attack was amongst the best in the league, arguably the best if you look at the underlyings from the last 3-4 weeks. And this was all without Mo Salah. So there isn't necessarily, for me, there shouldn't be a rush to bring him back for fixtures which are very winnable on paper for Liverpool and for Jurgen Klopp. Like, I think the Carabao Cup final will be massive and he'll be eyeing a start there. But maybe fixtures in 24-25, you go, yeah, let's get some minutes in it under his belt. But starts and sets of 60, 70, 80 minutes, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. And it requires such surgery in most teams. I mean, there's very few teams that are still holding on to Salah. Kudos to you if you're one of those. So it's going to be tricky and you won't get the minutes. So then you're thinking, might as well do a Jota and a Darwin, who will probably get similar, if not way more minutes than Salah. So why risk it? You have two really, really good attackers at your disposal.
Yeah, I guess we should give a note to Arsenal's midfielder or a couple of their players, but Saka being the highlight. Like, a few are getting twitchy. Players like Watkins and Saka, some of the highest owned assets in the game, in the last few weeks, been big conversation in the FPL community. Are these guys worth their price? Should we be moving them on as we target Liverpool and Man City players ahead of their great fixture runs? But both Watkins, we'll talk about him later, and Saka have shown us that brilliant long-term holds, and they tick along nicely, they're highly owned for a reason, they're not overpriced, and they're talisman for their team.
You know, it's for both of them, and we're talking about Saka, it's like, you know that saying, you don't know what you have till it's gone. You know, basically they're nice, they're in your team, they trickle along, they get you points, but sometimes you think, can I do better? Can I get a KDB? Can I get that explosion with Jota? And then you're always tempted to think about taking them out. But for me, I have never considered taking Saka out of my team. It's also the fact that during this period, Arsenal don't have a double, but also don't have a blank. I mean, we don't know about, you know, we know for sure about 26. We don't know for sure about 29. It's just a good team. And he's a penalty taker on most days for, you know, a second or third best team in the league with a good defense. It just feels like an easy hold for me. But it is team dependent in most cases.
Yeah, I needed, I think it was last week, you went to Forest, got a 10-pointer. I think I needed that. I was getting very twitchy. And then 10 points against Forest and then 9 points against Liverpool. And straight away you go, yeah, of course he's a good asset. Let's be a little bit more patient. Man City, Brentford, I think we should go there next, shouldn't we? Because we love talking about players with upside. We love talking about the in-demand players. And we've spoken about eyeing up 2 or 3 Liverpool players ahead of double game weeks and good fixture runs. Man City are the other team we're all just going after, and their players are rocketing in value. Haaland, De Bruyne, Foden now is going to be hot property. Where do we start here?
Well, let's start with the minutes first, because, you know, it was the first start for Haaland after a long time. And I think a lot of people were just waiting to see, how does he react? How many minutes does he play? Is it a 45-minute cameo versus an 85 minutes that we got? So, you know, in theory, this was a big, big game for Haaland, people who are looking to get Haaland, for triple captaincy potentially in Game Week 25, because if the big man is back, then everybody wants to get him in, and he will probably be the most popular captaincy, if not the triple captaincy in Game Week 25, where they play Chelsea at home and Brentford again, the same fixture they played, obviously the reverse, at home again in Game Week 25. So very popular there from Haaland.
Yeah, someone, I think, going into the weekend as a non-Haaland owner, seeing so many of my mini-league rivals had not only bought Haaland in, but captained him. It was a really tough Monday evening. I was just thinking, you know, this could really end badly. So fortunately, he came away with just the 1 assist. And in that respect, I guess I got away with it. But I'm not willing to watch Man City play without owning Haaland, not for a long time. So he's come straight back into my team. And actually, on Monday night after the game, I just needed to see Haaland play. The plan was always to bring him in. So I've made that transfer already. Solanke out, Haaland in. Unfortunately, the price changes are so volatile, with both Solanke likely to drop in price this week. Haaland will no doubt rise again. I just couldn't risk it when I had the exact funds. So that transfer has been made for me. And I've now got a triple City attack, which was always the plan. I think there's value still in the defence, and we'll perhaps speak about Walker in a sec. But Foden, De Bruyne and Haaland is huge commitment there for Man City on one team. Arguably too much, but I'm there for that differential play. Most will go with two of those three, but accommodating a De Bruyne and a Haaland is a huge amount of your budget. But what do you think to De Bruyne? I mean, last night, positive steps forward again, like 90 minutes, great average position, comes away with one assist, not a huge amount of goal threat, but always looks to be sort of central. He just missed out on bonus points by, I think, one BPS.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think he is a scary watch for non-owners because he's always involved. It's De Bruyne. But as always, it comes down to price, right? I mean, he's getting very expensive. Yeah. So it just gets into a territory where you think, is he worth that if he's not on penalties, if he's not the guy scoring the goals he's providing? But there's other providers as well in the team. I mean, if you look at yesterday's lineup, it was incredible in terms of their attacking threat. They had Alvarez and Haaland almost as a 9 and 10. You had Foden playing, you had Bernardo playing. And then, so KDB was involved a lot, but he was not sort of the most furthest forward. Apart from a couple of shots, I never saw a goal threat from him, assist threat, absolutely. So I think for a double, great player. Do I want him long-term? Maybe not, because of the reasons that I said. And another good thing, similar to Liverpool, Man City have a good home fixture before the double, which is Everton at home. So you get Everton home, you get two other home games, which is after that, the Chelsea and Brentford ones, just really, really good games. And if you can get 2.5 starts or even maybe 3 starts with 60-minute sub off, I think all those three are very, very good picks.
I think with what we're both looking at is really nice double game weeks for Liverpool City, but the opportunity to accommodate these players, whatever Liverpool and City players you're planning on going for in 25, get them in for 24, even if that means a hit. Because we're correct. Fortunate that Liverpool and City both have these good home fixtures in 24 as well. What do you think your double or triple up on City will be then? Like, you're in a position where getting to a KDB is more difficult, so you're probably going to go without. Will you consider a Walker? Now, seeing him back in the 11 was a positive move for those that want to buy Walker.
It's an option. But look, I just think that the City defenders have limited upside as such. Like, we don't have a Cancelo these days.
Such a shame.
So, yeah, I mean, even though Guardiola and Walker hold the width really well, and you see them very high up on the pitch when you look at the game. But if you look at attacking returns, they're essentially there to create space for the attackers to attack the inside. So it's not that they're the same level as a Trent or a Robertson that we've seen. So while I am tempted by Walker, I think I will either skip or I'll just go for a Liverpool defender instead, which is weird to say because Liverpool actually blank in 26 after. But I just think there's better upside with the Liverpool defender, better fixtures as well on paper. So I might just go for the two City. If I could, if I had unlimited funds, there's no chance I won't have De Bruyne. But, you know, fantasy football is about using your budget, allocating to what you can get to. I think Foden and Haaland are the two best. And so if I don't have the third, which is De Bruyne, so be it.
Yeah, there's more than 15 good players in this game. You just can't have them all. And exactly. We have to always, accommodate where we see fit. I guess Foden with the hat trick, we both benched him. We were both probably not 100% convinced he would start. We just probably felt maybe a rest. Like, clearly he's in the first 11, but with De Bruyne back, could they go again without Foden, who's played a huge amount of minutes? I've been sort of big on Foden since, I think, early December. I think I brought him in way before the Club World Cup. And I think since then, he's had player of the match in 50% of Man City games. Like, I haven't looked this up. It must be around half of Man City games. Now, this doesn't always translate to FPL points. And I don't think Foden's been the best FPL asset. He's someone that's always caught my eye, therefore I've always picked him. And he's always at a good price point and he always passes the eye test. But sometimes his numbers are underwhelming and sometimes you fear minutes. And sometimes he looks really lively and comes away with 2 points. That didn't happen last night. And obviously the week that, I think the first time ever I've benched him, of course he goes and gets to 20. But I think what we're seeing from Foden of late is more of a goal threat. And he's such a good finisher. He is clinical in front of goal. And we look at his finishing and he looks like a number nine the way he slots home. So a very, very good pick at his price point. He's going to have a huge amount of interest this week, isn't he?
Yeah, he will. And look, for people who are new to the Foden experience, like you mentioned perfectly, There's some games where he's very wide. There's some games where he's very involved, central, but still disappoints. And there's some games that he hits it out of the park, like last night. So yeah, it is an experience. You own him for the longer term, and then you just hope for points. And he will not be, he's typically not been as explosive as he was last night, but yeah, so be it. He's still, I think, as I mentioned, the second best pick from Man City. So if you could, if you would ask me that, I would, you know, I would give you two picks from Man City only. I would probably still go for Foden and Haaland. So yeah, that's where I put him in the rankings. And therefore, if you don't have him, I think you should try to get him for the double game week or even before for the Everton game.
You reckon in 25 you'll be triple captaining and therefore go to Man City?
Definitely. I think so, because there's not, you know, as we've been accustomed to in the past 2-3 years with the COVID postponements, with the Queen's passing, there've been a couple of seasons now we've had a lot of doubles. And so people have had a menu of options on when we can, triple captain. Problem this year is it's a season where you will just have your standard doubles. So apart from this week, maybe you have 2-3 more doubles where you also want to deploy other chips. So therefore, it just feels like a week where if Haaland is fit, he's getting 80 plus minutes. He has two home games. Just get this triple captainship out of the way.
Brentford, Praz, like, we've all looked at Tony since he's been back and gone, brilliant FPL asset. When can we start looking at him for our teams? Problem is there's so many good forwards in the game at the moment. We can only have three. And Brentford fixtures on paper don't look good. But Brentford, we know, caused the big teams problems. And they usually score a goal. They did last night. If Tony had scored last night, there would be a big bandwagon for him. Now, he didn't, but he's scored in the last few weeks. And he's still got that good fixture run. He plays in the blank game weeks too. I don't think I can accommodate him. And he'll just have to be one that, again, going back to the, you can only have 15. Which is a shame, but I think Tony will get a lot of love and I like those that punt on them. I think it's a brave call because if you're going Tony, you might be going without a Watkins or you might be going without a Darwin. I think there's still a lot of reasons to pick Ivan Tony.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's the only player, as you mentioned, that has a double in 25, also a game in 26 and a confirmed game in that quarterfinal weekend, which is game week 29. So there is a lot of love that you could get to him, especially in game week 29, he plays Burnley. So I think people who even join late will join the party eventually because people will have Tony in game week 29. It's a case of how early you go. I mean, if you are willing to say that I don't like the Darwin experience, I don't like watching my player miss chances, then I'll just go straight to Tony. Fair enough. If you think that, you know, I'm frustrated with Solanke, that's okay. I mean, I think you can get there. But I still think at the moment, given Tony's fixtures. I mean, he has Liverpool at home, Man City away, Chelsea home, Arsenal away. I mean, Chelsea home is a different story. You'll talk about that later. But those are still toughish games for attackers. So yes, he's on penalties. Yes, he gets 90 minutes. He takes free kicks. It's just, I think there's better three attackers in Haaland, Watkins, Darwin in the short term.
Yeah. And that Darwin experience, guys, be prepared. Be prepared. As a long-term owner, you'll always get chances. So you're always in the mix to get huge, huge points. But rarely does he pick up those huge, huge points. I still think there's a big haul in him in the next three games. But I'm also looking forward to being able to sell him when Liverpool blank. One player I'm not selling, and I haven't sold for a while, and many of us see him, like Saka we spoke about earlier, as a long-term set and forget, is Ollie Watkins, Praz. He finds routes to points despite not being on penalties. He picks up good bonus. He's a huge assist threat. And that's an underrated stat, the assist threat, but obviously scoring goals too.
You know, I listen to quite a few podcasts and every time Watkins blanks, somebody picks out a stat. Is he the guy who we should own? He's not on penalties. He doesn't do all this. In the year 2023-24, this season, in terms of attacking returns, he is 3 more than any other player in the game. Watkins is 25. Next is Salah on 22. Then Haaland on 19. Son and Saka on 17. It's incredible the year he's having, especially when he's not even on penalties. It's a good team, Villa. They're fighting for the Champions League, which is way more than what people expected them to do. So they're doing really well. And he's the focal point of everything. If he's not shooting, he's creating for someone else. That assist for Moreno was superb. You know, even the first attempt, which hit the post and McGinn scored, he's just so involved. There's a brace in any game. I just think you want to hold on to Watkins if you can.
Yeah. And Aston Villa, like they've had a little, they've slowed down, didn't they? But good to see them back scoring big, big numbers. And I look at even the likes of Leon Bailey, who came back into the 11, and Villa fans have been calling for Bailey to start over Diaby and not both of them. Bailey comes in, scores a goal, and he's looked really, really bright. I do like 3.5% owned. I'm not saying go without Watkins, but if you wanted to double up, knowing the fixtures are good, 5.6 million Leon Bailey, definitely would have my eye on him if I wasn't beelining for those more popular Liverpool and Man City assets. But yeah, impressive from Villa. And yeah, just long-term. The problem with it's not a problem, but by having Watkins, and let's assume we're all going to have Haaland, just leaves that one striker spot up for grabs. And there are lots of good strikers in the game. And I guess we'll talk about one, which is Dom Solanke in Bournemouth. And I look at Solanke and think, yeah, he's been so good. He's been such good value. He's picked up good points. He's the talisman for an exciting team. But I just can't accommodate him any longer because there's other assets I want more.
Yeah. And I mean, if we talk about Watkins, there is the looming Game Week 26 fixture, which is home to Forest, which is a good one when it's a blank game week for many other players. So you want to hold on to Watkins. If you talk about Solanke, then, you know, he has this Luton game that will fit in somewhere. So we might get surprised at any point where that Luton game has been scheduled into game week 28 or 27, wherever. We don't know yet. But then suddenly Solanke is needed because he has a double game week and it's a tasty one, including Luton at home. So it's just a hard season and you have to navigate what's in front of you, maybe 2-3 game weeks ahead. And 2-3 game weeks ahead, as you mentioned, Solanke plays Liverpool and Man City. I think it's a case of if you can go around, get your Darwin, then come back down to Solanke or to Tony. I think that's a good route that I'm considering.
Yeah, yes. Selling and buying back isn't something I dislike. And when I look at the last six games, I look at the non-pen XGI, the expected goal involvement, outside of penalties in the last 6 weeks, Solanke's only ninth amongst all forwards, which I was quite surprised at because he's picked up okay points. But when I look at some of the names above him, you know, João Pedro, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Watkins, Cunha's been brilliant, Chris Wood, Adebayo at Luton now, like probably have to consider him too. Alvarez we know about, but top of that list, someone that a lot of Solanke sellers will be buying is Darwin. 4.78 XGI non-penalty versus Solanke's 2.54 in the last six game weeks. Just shy of double. I think I would happily sell Solanke this week for Darwin or Haaland. If that's your only route, I'd be holding a Watkins and I'd be selling a Solanke. Would you be doing similar?
I think so. But look, I do have sympathy for teams that have stretched budgets. You know, if you have a KDB and a Trent, for example, and you have to now accommodate a Haaland, you have to try to get a Jota. It just gets very tricky to hold on to Solanke, to Watkins as well. So I can understand in certain teams where it's a different setup. Maybe you have a João Pedro as your third striker that you sell Watkins instead. And again, it's not easy, but if you're doing it for a couple of weeks and you plan to get Watkins back for game week 26, I think any strategy at this stage, if you're doing it for a doubler, you're basically putting more chips, you know, for you to win the jackpot. And if that works, then it works. So I think if you have an option, then Solanke is the better sell, holding on to Watkins. But if you have no option whatsoever and you're absolutely desperate for funds, I can understand Watkins as well.
Yeah. Another forward not mentioned in that list, but if we were to look at the last couple of game weeks, not the last six, then Rasmus Højlund, 4 goals, 2 assists in his last 4 outings. But at United, there's also Garnacho. And there's good-ish fixtures, quite low price points. I think United now probably become a team that we start looking at for FPL again.
It's music to my ears as a Man United fan. Yeah. I mean, we've been very disappointing for much of the season. But honestly, it's the first time in the last couple of games where the full team has been back, where Menu has been playing with Casemiro, which is a good double pivot. So Bruno's been further forward. You've got Garnacho on the right. You've got Rashford on the left. And Højlund's now found his feet. So it's a good time. And Man United attack has been doing okay. They've just not been converting their chances. So the changes in this game, actually, they just converted their chances. So it's a good team, whether we invest in them or not. I'm going to keep it short, maybe for the moment not, unless it's a Garnacho who's just so cheap and will continue to start. And if he enables something else, then I can understand it. But other than that, I think it's a little bit of let's wait and watch. They have a crucial tie against Nottingham Forest in the FA Cup fifth round. If they win that, then they will blank in game week 29, then people will avoid. But if they lose, then people will jump on a few Man United picks because they'll have a game in that crucial game week 29.
Yeah, and what did you think to West Ham at the weekend? Because I thought they were pretty good. Like they lost the game, but first half I thought they threatened. Obviously, Jared Bowen looks to be quieter than normal, and I think is a sell. he's 8 million. 8 million for a West Ham player that's often quite isolated and quite low scoring affairs, I think is a sell. And actually, despite West Ham looking fairly comfortable at times against Man United early on, I don't think they're a team we invest with in FPL at the moment.
It's really, yeah, it's tough. I mean, 4 or 5 weeks ago, we were saying Bowen is just an incredible pick. But, you know, I have maintained that him playing up top just doesn't suit him as well as him cutting in off the right. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's not as attacking a position. It's the same with Rashford, a lot of other forwards
Sterling,
as well when they play. Sterling the same. Yeah. So it's just better for him to come off the right. And Kudus is doing that job and he's actually looking more threatening. But look, Man United give up chances. So yeah, he could have scored. So owners are unlucky. But it is that time where, you know, a Bowen fell last night in price, Jota rose in price. You can see where the trend is, where people are looking to the Liverpool guys, maybe a Foden. And unfortunately, Bowen becomes the make weight. So I still maintain good pick, but it's not the same. And if you want to go for a Liverpool or a City pick, he has to be, unfortunately, the guy who makes way.
Yeah. Areola is the West Ham player many own. I think both of us have him in our squads. I came off at halftime. I think it was a collision with Zuma, wasn't there, in the first half. So we'll keep an eye on that, but hopefully more precautionary than anything. Are you looking at goalkeepers as kind of a set now until you wildcard? Like, I've got Dubravka and Areola. It feels like probably not the optimal combination, but one that's probably not worth making a transfer on at the same time.
Actually, funny you ask that. I will pretty likely make a goalkeeper transfer because
Areola is injured. You're going to go to Luton, are you?
I'm going to go to Luton or even Liverpool because see the beauty of having a second keeper is it gives you a fourth bench spot, which we rarely use. And that fourth bench spot becomes really useful in a blank game week. So people who want to go for, let's say, an Alisson, right? The advantage would be, and now people would say, why would you buy an Alisson when Trent is right there? So going back to our Liverpool conversation, let's say Trent isn't fully ready. You want a Liverpool defense. You get an Alisson, you could hide the Alisson for Areola in game week 26. So actually you have solved the problem of having a blank game week for Liverpool by getting a goalkeeper. Similarly, Luton, you can get a Kaminski, you can get him in game week 24. He plays Sheffield United at home. You get a double out of him. Then you hide him on your bench for your Areolas or your Dubravkas. I think it's a good strategy if people want to think about it. You lose some upside. Obviously, goalkeepers don't have the same upside as a Doughty or a Trent. But if you wanted some piece of the action of a double game week, and keepers get a lot of save points, double game week means double the save points, it is not a bad play. So it is something that I am considering. I don't know if I'll do it this week, but I think people should think about it a little bit.
Yeah, I wonder if Luton will get a little bit more interest in the next couple of days, because it's, again, we've said with Man City and Liverpool, they have the double game week, but buy their players now because they have a good 24 fixture. Luton play Sheffield United at home. That's the best fixture they will have potentially on paper all season, right?
Yep.
I think that's a potential clean sheet fixture. Like I last night to buy Haaland, and I said Monday night comes along. The plan was always to bring Haaland in. Solanke goes for Haaland. I had the exact funds minus a point one. And I knew I had Lascelles as a dead spot on my bench. He's not starting games. He's 4 million. And I knew that I'd need to buy a 3.9 defender. So as part of a 4-point hit, can't remember doing this, a 4-point hit on a Monday night, but Luton have got a couple of 3.9 defenders. So I've bought one of them in, Mengi and Bell. It was a bit of a coin toss between the two. Mengi comes with a bit more upside. Bell is a little bit more reliable in terms of sets of 90 and ready gets injured, slightly higher in the BPS. So I went Bell. I just need minutes. I just need this guy to play in 24 and double in 25. And then they'll probably be the third spot on my bench for a long time. Unfortunately, yes, they blank in 26. But I think I could see a Luton clean sheet there to home to Sheffield United. And then I just get, hopefully, 180 minutes in the double. Of course, not expecting too much in ways of clean sheet, but you never know. So Luton defensively, yeah, maybe not great, but at home against Sheffield United, good chance of a clean sheet. And then you look at some of their attacking numbers and go, yeah, Adebayo, Morris. But also, if you're looking for a defender with upside, then Doughty's up there with the best of them, isn't he? And he's only 4.5 mil.
Doughty's numbers have been incredible, actually. So if there was one player that I could pick from their team, if money wasn't an, obviously for you, money was an issue, so you couldn't get there.
So then annoying,
no. Then it is Doughty. He's on set pieces, taking free kicks, corners. I just think a good pick. Now, I'll be cautious a little bit more on their defense because the defensive numbers are still very poor. And I think even more so in the last couple of games, you've seen 4 goals against Brighton, 4 against Newcastle. They've just now said, look, let's go for it. We had to, in order to survive in this league, we can't just sit back. This is not going to work. We're going to concede the odd goal and lose the games. Let's just go for it. And it seems to be working, but that obviously impacts their defensive numbers even more, because if they are more attacking. So I think Doughty could be the one. I think a keeper is never a bad shout, as I mentioned. Yeah. A cheap defender, if he enables something, isn't bad. But yeah, Adebayor also a decent shout. Ross Barkley, man, what a comeback. Goal and assist against Newcastle as well. Really nice redemption arc for Barkley.
He's playing as a kind of deep-lying playmaker. He's like prime Andrea Pirlo. He's been moved back. So this is like a number 10 that's been moved more defensive, but the game's always in front of him and he can ping those balls and still be a bit of a quarterback and create assists and goals. And when you look at the pass maps from Luton, everything goes through Barkley. A little bit like at City, everything goes through Rodri, right? This guy is everyone is looking to Barkley as to receive the ball. And I was super impressed. You know, you're right, Praz. The underlying numbers for Luton defensively aren't great, which is why Doherty is so attractive, because you get assists with him. You get assists aplenty. But they did in game week 22. They kept a clean sheet against Brighton. You know, they two early goals, and Brighton had an off day, but 4-0 at home to Brighton. I'm really hoping I get a clean sheet in game week 24. I think it's possible. Fair likely enough. Would be the wrong term, but it's possible. So yeah, and as you say, the key word, I guess, for many when buying a Luton defender is what else it enables. Because to have two 3.9 starters in Mengi and Bell as options in FPL may be worth noting if you're ever struggling for that 0.1 or 0.2. So yeah, I'm fairly upbeat about that one. No one's been keeping clean sheets, though, have they? Defenders of late have been pretty disappointing. A lot of one-pointers across the board.
Well, speaking of defenders who don't keep clean sheets, I think we're going to Spurs now. We all own Porro. A lot of us own Porro. He's been looking attacking, but one clean sheet since game week 9 and a blank coming up in game week 26. What are you thinking about Spurs defense and Porro Odoghi?
Oh, I still am there for the upside, I think. I mean, I was always wary with him stepping into a more creative role without Maddison. But actually, having seen him and Maddison playing together the last couple of weeks, and then Maddison started last time out, Porro still has the set pieces. And actually, Porro's position doesn't change. Yes, Maddison wasn't playing, but there was still someone at Spurs playing that number 10 role, whether it was Kulusevski or whoever. I still think Porro offers you the same as what he offered you a month ago. Unfortunately, he's just having a bit of a dip in form and he's not showing up week in, week out. Mm. But a month ago, we were looking at Porro going, set pieces amazing, open play goal threat, shooting on sight. Well, he'll still take those shots from distance. And the fixtures for Spurs outside of them blanking look all right. So I'm still not sure where I'll be at in game week 26 when we're faced with no Chelsea, no Spurs, no Liverpool, no Luton, and we're trying to get an 11 out. Who do you sacrifice? Will I be selling some Liverpool players or will I be selling Chelsea or Spurs? Maybe Porro is one that stays. I'm not ruling out the idea of keeping him.
I'm similar. So, just the fact that they're a good team around, as fixtures around the blanks are good. So I'm not yet committing to taking him out. Although I can see, because there is appeal from other good defenders in this period. Like we mentioned Trent, we mentioned Doughty, we mentioned the Arsenal double defense. So there are other picks that you could potentially play in this period. Even Villa defense, actually, Moreno looked really good. Yeah. So I think there is a case if you could sell, but it's again team dependent. I think he's still a good pick, like you mentioned. Another good pick who we may want to keep in our teams if we have, or if we don't have, people could think about buying, even despite the blank, is the guy who scored 9 goals in 8 games, Richarlison.
So good. He's been brilliant. And he's stepped up. Richarlison, I think, wants to be the main man. And with no Son around, it's helped him. It's helped him both for minutes. It's helped him for position. He's always played number 9, not on the left, which sometimes with Son around, you see him out wide. But it's also helped him with confidence. And he's really stepped up. On this run, which doesn't look like stopping anytime soon, every week I'm faced with the why do I not own him question. And part of that reason, I've been too narrow-minded, and this happens a lot with FPL, we can fixate around doubles and blanks. That game week 26 blank has definitely narrowed my thinking, and it hasn't opened up the policy, hasn't opened up the opportunity each week, I should say, of going, yeah, actually, just buy Richarlison now. I've gone, oh yeah, but he blanks in 26, so maybe not, maybe there's someone else. And there's obviously been a huge amount of good other options as well, which have tempted me. But look, well done to early adopters. Definitely one you should I think, hold long term. And again, when we talk about that blank in 26, he's not one, if I owned him, that I'd be willing to sell short term. I think he's a great option. I'm interested to see when Son is back in the team, if there are certain games Son plays number nine because it suits the Spurs style, for example, against away from home against a very good team where you'll get counter-attacking lots. And if he goes for this fixture, actually, I want Werner out wide on the left and I want Son down the middle because Richarlison doesn't suit that particular game plan. But I feel it very difficult now in any given game to drop Richarlison. And then perhaps a month ago when I was looking at it, I went, oh, with the addition of Werner, with other good forwards playing so, so well, is he absolutely nailed? And I don't know if he was. I think he probably is now. So yeah, difficult one for me there.
I have maintained that ever since even when Son was here, so before he left, he had started playing up top more and Son off the left, and Son did a great job there as well. So I just think, you know, an Ange team, an ever attacking team, no matter who starts, a striker who's listed as a midfielder in FPL is just a good pick. Now, if you missed the boat because you had other priorities, that's absolutely fine. I mean, we all go there. But I think after game week 26, he's a definite buy as soon as possible, because not only does he have a confirmed fixture in game week 29, who does he play in game week 30? Luton at home. So you want your Spurs triple up as soon as possible after the blank in game week 26. So that's where we are. Before we end, we wanted to talk about a little bit about your team, Gianni. Tell us about Chelsea. How do people think about that? Because they have a blank coming up in game week 26 as well. Any thoughts around losing Palmer? Because he still keeps doing well regardless.
There is one shining light at Stamford Bridge, and it falls in the shape of Cole Palmer. And I guess that the reason I didn't consider Palmer for captaincy, and quite a few did this weekend, was purely just my confidence in the team. I thought Wolves would probably come and beat Chelsea, therefore I didn't consider Palmer captain. But even when Chelsea play badly, even when Chelsea struggle to score goals, this guy steps up. For me, he's a long-term hold, even with blanks and tough fixtures. He also gives you a benching option because many of us don't have that enabler as our eighth attacker. We don't have that 4.5 million midfielder that picks up 2 points every week on our bench. For many of us, our cheapest attacker is actually Cole Palmer. Not to say you should be benching him, by the way. So yeah, a long-term hold. Also, I think many bought him early. Praz, I think you paid 4.95 million for him.
Seems ridiculous, yeah.
So when we think of team value, and we know if we do sell him, you know you're going to be buying Cole Palmer back when you wildcard a few weeks down the line. Therefore, think of your team value and how much you lose out. If it's 0.5 million, what can you do with that 0.5? So for me, I'll be holding him long term. And when I look at that blank in 26 and potential Liverpool and Spurs assets to sell, so far, and this could change, Palmer hasn't been in the mix for me.
Fair enough. I completely agree with you. Last word on Newcastle. You'd say an amazing game for all, but they'd be disappointed with conceding four at home. They've been so tight defensively at home. Yeah. Thoughts on Trippier and Gordon, who came off injured as well?
Yeah, I really had my eye on Gordon as someone I wanted to buy. I've not owned a Newcastle attacker for a while, and Gordon is, again, we've just spoken about Palmer being Chelsea's best attacking threat. Well, without a shadow of a doubt, Gordon has been Newcastle's main man this season. He's playing the best football of his career. He's playing for a spot in the Euros. Hasn't been called up by Southgate yet, but I think that's very, very close. We have to monitor the situation because he went off injured. So even when Newcastle are conceding goals, they still put up good attacking numbers, especially at home. Gordon has been so reliable at home. He rarely blanks at home. Trippier for you though, Praz. I mean, you bought him this week and you... Trippier's first goal in a couple of seasons, I think, or certainly non-free kick goal. Goal and an assist. What a time to bring him in. Well played.
It was a good time. I mean, I would say it does soften the blow of the Foden benching that I had a good, probably the only defender that had attacking points this week. I love Trippier, but then the love was also stemmed from not only the attacking threat, but also the defensive solidity that Newcastle have. But they just don't have that anymore. So I am looking for almost a get him in and get him out, because I got the best fixture out of him. They do have Nottingham Forest and Bournemouth in the next two. I just don't trust their defense at the moment. So if I can use him as a make weight to get a Van Dijk or a Trent or even a Doughty to upgrade somewhere else, I think I might end up doing that. So it's a little bit silly, but I did get him to then fund another move, which is actually fine at this time of the year.
Yeah. And final word for me, I guess, on Brighton. I'm an Estupinan owner. And again, I bought him like many would buy Trippier. You buy him for the upside. Now, the week many bought him, I think he 8-pointer, looked really good. Unfortunately, he's not been playing well of late. Brighton conceded 4 at Luton, and Estupiñán, I think, went off at half-time and then was dropped at the weekend. And Lamptey stepped into that role as the left wing-back and looked really, really good. Lamptey looked comfortable on his left foot, which I was really surprised. Byline crosses hitting the target on his left foot. And I do wonder, with Lamptey playing so well and Estupiñán being out of form, I wonder if Estupiñán's spot in the 11 is at threat. And that's actually why I was willing to go and buy that cheap defender that gets minutes, because I think I might not be able to rely on Lamptey in the 11 and go, oh, I need to play my Luton defender this week. So I'm going to be monitoring Estupiñán minutes in the next couple. If he stays on the bench, though, he'll be a sell, because you can't have 5 million defenders not getting minutes. So as good as the Brighton fixtures have been, definitely one that could be on the chopping block for me.
Absolutely. Enjoyed our chat, Gianni. It's full steam ahead now to game week 24 and the double in the blank game weeks of 25 and 26. Kelly, Jules and Sam will be back on Thursday with the FPL pod. They'll be looking ahead to game week 24, whilst one eye on the blanks and doubles to ensure that managers can maximize returns across all the coming game weeks. It's time to ramp up the chip strategy, chaps.
Yeah, and if you haven't already done so, guys, make sure you join that FPL pod league. The code is IB3WLK.
See you next time, everyone.
See you, guys.